This is the Adam Gold Show.
V to the Victoria. She is on the ones and twos today. I'm trying to get the what's the song?
Don't Stop Me Now by Queen, because I'm having a good time. So sorry.
See, this is a side of you I didn't expect. I didn't expect you reveling in someone else's failure.
Oh, my goodness. Hey, he's totally fine. He's sitting pretty on 40 mil. Like, he's good. He's good.
Will Brinson, senior NFL writer, CBSSports.com. The only daily NFL podcast for you out there is the Pick Six podcast. He is the moderator. And even when Matt Rhule gets got, Will has to do an emergency podcast. So I can't wait to hear it.
It'll probably sound a lot like the next few minutes.
I don't know if I would bother listening,
but I appreciate
it. No, that's fine. I always check you guys out. If for no other reason to hear my friend Ryan Wilson and John Breach. I actually feel I'm happy for Matt Rhule. Is that a fair way of looking at this? I'm legitimately happy for him. He was not cut out for this. Wasn't his fault he got hired. And he's got $40 million guaranteed coming his way. Now, maybe not all of it from the Panthers, because if he gets a college job, some of it will get absorbed there. But he knows over the next 5 years, he's got $40 million coming to him. So I'm team Matt Rhule here.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not upset. I guess I'm happy for Matt Rhule.
I am happy. Why would you want to be the head coach of this anymore?
I mean, I guess I hadn't really thought about being happy for Matt Rhule. I would say that Matt Rhule, compared to Matt Rhule's stress level on Monday afternoon versus Sunday afternoon, is probably a lot lower. That's how I'd phrase it. He's got $40 million in the bank. He is no longer in charge of the worst team of professional football.
Right.
He is can basically take any college job he wants if they're interested in him, and I think he will be. And there's still, like, he got fired early enough where there still is interest in him as a college coach, because he can program build in college the way that he can't exactly do in the NFL, because you can't just go and get it. You can't go and recruit a quarterback.
Right.
You know, and he's out of, he doesn't have to, like, go through this for the rest of the year. Like, seeing the season to its conclusion with this team, the way they played, would have been seriously unfun. And so, in that sense, I
mean, would, like, have Matt been? We only had 5 games of it, and that was the least fun I have ever had watching football.
Except for the 2021 Panthers.
No. No,
2021 Panthers were worse.
They got worse. This team was less fun to watch than last year's team.
It's pretty amazing.
Yeah, I agree.
That's a lot. Yeah,
that's a lot. It is. This team got worse under Matt Rhule. All the quarterbacks that he got, they were worse. They were better in their previous spots. Teddy Bridgewater was better in New Orleans than he was
somehow
here.
Sam Darnold was better in the Jets.
I said this last year, Mike. Sam Darnold with the Jets, if it wasn't for injuries and a complete lack of an offensive line, showed promise. He only showed that for three games here, and they were against 3 of the worst teams in the league. They just weren't good.
Look, the Panthers are a bad football team. I don't necessarily think that it's a good job.
No, it's not. They have the bones of a good defense, but
if they get the number one pick. Overall pick, and if there are quarterbacks, and if they can correctly evaluate which quarterback should go number one overall, then it's probably a pretty good job. If
I don't even know about that,
is there a quarterback? Quantum had a really good game, I think, yesterday against a really high graded PFF grade too. So it checks out.
CJ Stroud, is that your guy?
I don't know who the. It's, yeah.
I don't know I the don't answer know, to
know.
That.
It's too early to. It's I don't. I don't love. It's too early to tell for sure, but there's definitely going to be quarterbacks. Like, people love Will Leary. People love the Richardson kid in Florida?
No, I don't think they love him.
They don't?
I don't know. Do they really love Richardson?
I don't know.
I don't know that there are any.
The point being is, like, you have a promising young defense. You have some semblance of an offensive line cobbled together. You have DJ Moore and Christian McCaffrey under contract for at least, you know, the short period of time when you draft this quarterback. If you get the quarterback position right, this can be a decent job. And, you know, but it's all about that quarterback position, because they haven't been able to get it. And they've been the last, look, they've been They overpaid for Teddy Bridgewater in free agency, and then cut him after 1 year. And then they were the last team in the Game of Musical Chairs for a quarterback and got Sam Darnold, and overpaid for him. Yeah. And then they were the last team in the Musical Chairs and they got Baker Mayfield. And they were in a pee contest with Baker Mayfield about whether he even wanted to come to Carolina or if they didn't even want each other. And then they finally were like, okay, there's no one else who will take Baker, and we need another quarterback because all we have is Darnold. Let's trade for him. Like the process for which they have used to get to these quarterbacks hasn't been good, and it's shown up on the field, even if the results aren't there, the process isn't there. And so I think I have a hard time. Like, for instance, Sean Payton is being bandied about as a possibility here. One, I don't think the Saints will trade him in the division. And two, I don't know why Sean Payton would want to work for David Tepper, who has proven, at least through the early portion of his run as owner, to be extremely meddlesome and basically Jimmy Haslam 2.0, which is the biggest problem the Panthers have, because even if you have a good owner, even if you have a good coach and you have an owner who's meddling, it's going to seriously mitigate what that coach is able to do, because the owner is forcing you to accelerate your rebuild process, which is exactly what the Panthers did.
Yeah, they did. I mean, the bigger problem really was just the falling in love with Matt Rhule. And then, he just wasn't the right guy. Now, if you could give the right coach a 7-year deal and let him rebuild. But even with the pieces that they had or didn't have over the last couple of years, they just didn't get better within the course of a season. And last year, two years ago to last year, they didn't get better. I think they won the same number of games, right? They won the same number of games with an extra kick at it. And then this year they were trending towards maybe three wins.
Extra game.
Yeah. And they did. They won. They had one extra game, and they still just won the five. Anyway, again, I'm going to stand by the fact that I feel happy for Matt Rhule.
Optimistic on a Monday.
Fish, play golf, go to an arcade, sit in a coffee shop, read a book. You don't have to worry about that offense. And again, my fear is that what's good on that team will either be on the way down or basically a salary cap casualty by the time this team is good. They are in a very, very bad spot, I think. I think it's a very unattractive job, I think.
There's a lot of interesting pieces across the board with the job, but there's also a ton of, like Chris McCaffrey's. Ooh, you got Chris McCaffrey, but it's not a great contract. And
2 years from now, is Christian McCaffrey? I mean, I don't know. Maybe he's great.
He might not be on the Panthers 6 weeks from now.
Again, I've been saying.
I actually was wrong. I did not think that his contract was very tradable, but as it turns out, he is. You can trade him pretty good.
Yeah, look. He's awesome. Right now, he's awesome. If you can find a salary cap fit somewhere around the league, you should trade him. Because I think that if a team feels like, if you're Minnesota.
Well, his cap is only $9 million this year. The problem is it balloons up to $20 million over the next 2 years and then $15 million. And you can cut him in you can cut him after this season and basically have no real ramifications in terms
or,
of cap.
Or restructure it. Heck, send him to Denver. Although I wouldn't want to. If I were Christian McCaffrey, I wouldn't want to go to Denver, even though he's from there, because that offense is trash. We're going to talk about that offense in a little bit. Somebody tweeted to me, so who's on the short list to replace Matt Rhule? this is not a college gig, man. We don't have that right away.
Guys.
Do you have any ideas who would be on the short list? Ken Dorsey is certainly the white offensive coordinator du jour.
Yeah. I think D'Amico Ryans, whose defense just stomped the Panthers yesterday.
Dynamite.
David Tepper watched. I'm not saying D'Amico Ryans got Matt Rhule fired, but it was the breaking point.
Don't you like an offensive coach at some point?
I'm just telling you, he's definitely going to be on the list.
He should be.
Shane Stichen. Who's the Eagles offensive coordinator? You've seen how well the Jalen Hurts has played and how good the Eagles has looked. He'll be on that list. Byron Leftwich,
Eric Bieniemy. Here's the thing about.
Ken Dorsey's definitely on the list, too.
Yeah, I know. He's going to be on the list.
Steve Wilks is technically on the list.
I bless Steve Wilks' heart over the next however many games, the 17 games, 12
Ryan
games.
Wilson's claimed on our emergency pod that Steve Wilks could go 12-0 the rest of the way and not get the job.
It's possible.
I should have told him to get a tattoo if he did.
Get a tattoo of Steve Wilkes' face right on his neck. A neck tattoo of Steve Wilkes' face. Look, all of these coaches are you know, more than qualified to take a job like this. I just don't know how attractive the whole thing is. But D'Amico Ryans is very, very interesting. And their defense, really quick about the 49ers, their offense only has to be good enough to be maybe the best team in the NFC. Oh, here's the other thing I wanted to get to, because you mentioned
Dan Quinn should be on that list, your list too.
Oh, that's fair. I mean, don't you see him going to Seattle when Pete Carroll is done?
Pete Carroll's going to win the division and get an extension.
Gosh, they're not going to win the division. Yeah, I mean, sure. By the way, the Colts might win the NFC South at 8-8-1. Think about that. That'll be fantastic at 8-8-1 to win the NFC South. What the Eagles are doing offensively, I wonder if this is going to be the model for NFL teams going forward. All you can do is work with what you have. And the quarterbacks coming out of college, basically, more of them look and play like Jalen Hurts than play like Kenny Pickett. We have no idea what the future of Kenny Pickett is. I'd like to think it's going to be bright. But more of them play like Jalen Hurts or Lamar Jackson or, heck, Josh Allen than Kenny Pickett, then Tom Brady. So that type of an offense, which utilizes the quarterback's ability to run, I think that's the future, whether we like it or not.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's been the future. I think you want to have that component as part of your quarterback, because you want to be able to maximize your ability to escape pressure, to open up the playbook, to create different ways that you can attack defenses, and having a running quarterback, especially with the way that most of these kids coming out of college run, regardless of the program, you want to have that ability.
Look, whether you utilize the quarterback's legs or for long term or not. All right, we're going to pick up this conversation on the other side. I am Adam Gold, V to the Victoria, producing this program on Friday. Place your bets. You were not here, Victoria.
No.
I do hear it on good authority that you went 2-0.
I did.
In the video challenge with Joe Giglio.
Yes, and he went 0-2,
oh,
baby.
Oh, my gosh.
Let's go.
Route. It was an absolute route. One of my winning wagers. I nearly had an awesome Friday.
Yes.
A San Francisco defensive or special teams touchdown at plus 550.
Look at you go.
I felt like that was a layup. I won a soccer bet, and I was a Duke win away from winning a four-team North Carolina ACC football parlay. But, of course, that's why it's so hard to win a parlay.
Uh-huh.
Back to Will Brinson, senior NFL writer, CBSSports.com, Pick 6 podcast moderator. Yeah, plus 550, I thought the Panthers.
That's a great price. Yeah. Wow.
I mean, I saw that. I went, oh, that's worth it.
Yeah, I mean, it's like Matt Rule is like 5-1 to be first coach fired before the season. He should have been like minus 5,000.
Well, probably, but I actually thought that it wasn't going to be as absolutely blatantly obvious that it had to end. And I thought that David Tepper was just going to let him coach out the year, because honestly, what good is served? This team's not going to improve, probably not, with an interim coach. Although maybe, good luck to Steve Wilkes. But I just figured he'd let him coach out the year.
A lot of times what these owners will do is wait till they've got an easier matchup to fire. So right. I thought he might let him coach against the Rams and the Bucks, which you think you're probably going to get to 1-6. And then you fire him after that, and then maybe Steve Wilkes steals a victory against the Falcons. But
right.
It's also, I mean, look, I wouldn't really.
It's a mercy firing.
It's a what?
It's a mercy firing.
Yes, exactly. And I think it's also like David Tepper's been itching. He wanted to fire Matt Rule last offseason, and his contract probably prevented him from doing that. I think David Tepper is going to be a short, leash type of guy.
Yeah.
With a quick fuse, short leash. And that's another reason why it's going to be tough to find somebody who wants to come in and take this job.
Well, that is very true. Two quarterback notes here before we continue on, and we're going to talk more quarterbacks. One, Devin Leary, day-to-day. Dave Doran said today could be out a week. Could play against Syracuse, could be 6 weeks. I'm going to say he's not playing against Syracuse. I'm just going to go out on a limb, say he's probably not going to be back against Syracuse, but no structural damage. That's good because, well, they're probably not beating good teams with Jack Chambers as quarterback. And the other one is that Baker Mayfield, high ankle sprain. So it almost looks like we're going to see the PJ Walker experience. I almost called him PJ Tucker, which I would submit is a better option than PJ Walker. But PJ Walker likely to start. Or what? Let's let Matt Carroll go. All right, never mind. Let me ask you this.
He's out for the year, right?
What, Matt Carroll?
Matt Corral? Yeah.
Is he out for the year too?
Yeah, he's done. He's had list rank or something.
Oh, that's right. Everybody's hurt. Sam Darnold's hurt. Everybody's hurt.
It's just PJ Walker.
I'm available. It's,
I mean, maybe they need a, I don't know, there's always a backup they could go sign.
Well, they're going to have to now, right? All right, so let me ask you this question. And I said this, watching the Bengals and Dolphins on Thursday night a week ago, that I didn't understand why nobody was talking about the way Tua was flung to the ground. And that, like, wait a second, why isn't this an issue? I understand we had the concussion the week before, so that's the story. But why isn't anybody talking about how he was tackled? And I legitimately said, I wish I remembered where in the show. It's not that important. But I said, if that happened to Tom Brady, I guarantee you it's a penalty. I swear I said that.
I think he did.
And, well, here we go. It happened to Tom Brady. It was a penalty. Probably didn't deserve a penalty. I don't know if it deserved. Maybe it did.
No, it did not deserve a penalty. That was a phantom rogue roughing the passer call that completely affected the game. And Jerome Boger continues to be one of the worst people at his respective jobs in the entire country.
And so we also didn't worry about Tom Brady's little scissor kick to the Jarretts. Right?
To the Jarretts.
I don't know. It's Grady Jarrett. I apologize for that.
sorry, you got me with that one. By the way, I should point out that the one name that we haven't floated for this Panthers job that could make sense, although I don't know if David Tepper wants to go back to the college ranks.
God no.
But there's a pretty successful.
Don't say Urban Meyer,
South Carolina.
Steve Spurrier.
No, I mean, what about Dabo Sweeney? I mean, like, guy just wins.
No.
Why not just go? You got to go get him. I mean, he's probably tired of being at Clemson. He sees the Panthers are paying a bunch of money.
He can't make more money with the Panthers than he makes at Clemson.
Dabo to Carolina. How about that?
He has to take a pay cut.
Let's get that trending.
I'm sure people will kick the tires on Dabo Sweeney, but why would he ever leave Clemson?
He just wants to work. He's just tired. He's just, same old rigmarole down there,
Yeah, it's the same old.
Over the rock, running down the hill, blah, blah, blah. Go live a little, Dabo. Go coach the Panthers.
Felt bad for Grady Jarrett. All right. Are the Giants good? Or are the Giants just
good.
Okay, but well coached?
They're good. They're not great, but they're an example of like good head coaching. Like Brian Daboll is a great head coach. He gets the most of his players. His players love him. He's like a no nonsense, no excuses guy. Mm-hmm. Very much blue collar, and has gotten motivated this team to play extremely hard for him. And they made some nice offseason moves. Joe Shane looks like a smart GM. I mean, this is a team that is potentially turning around the franchise much more quickly than I think they thought they would. The question will become what to do with Danny Dimes, Daniel Jones this offseason.
Well, Daniel Jones played a pretty good game yesterday at Tottenham. Maybe he should go sign with, I don't know, Leeds.
The Hotspur.
He could sign with Leeds United.
Say the Hotspur? I can never get it right.
Tottenham Hotspur. Yes, Tottenham.
You don't say like the Spurs.
No, it's Spurs. It's just Spurs. You don't call them the Spurs. It's just Spurs.
It's so weird. Hotspur.
Yes. Look, there's not a lot of scoring goes on for Spurs games. So Good for the Giants to put, 27 on the board against the Packers. I don't know how much of that was the Giants and how much of that was the Packers' second half no-show, because they were in good shape.
Yeah, they had the game under control and just completely melted.
We're not in any way wondering, is Matt LaFleur maybe not as good as we thought he was?
No.
No? Okay. I am. That's fine. That's just me.
He benefits greatly from the system like that he was dropped into, but he picked a very good head coaching job.
Oh, yeah.
Convinced the Packers to hire him for the head coaching job has been 13 games three straight years, I think. I mean, he's a very good head coach.
Well, the jury will be out until his quarterback is not Aaron Rodgers. And it's also fair to say that maybe Rodgers isn't playing all that well, although I don't see it's entirely up to him. They have offensive line issues, although they're getting healthier. They've obviously
clearly have wide receiver issues.
Yeah, the wide receivers are not what they used to, and Aaron's not able to make, like, I thought, Alan Lazard or whoever else is there, he's not able to make them one and a two. All right, so the Giants are 4-1. They're already saying that the NFC East is the best division in the entire NFL. Maybe it is, because the Giants are 4-1, the Eagles are 5-0, and I'm not sure that the Dallas Cowboys aren't trending towards being one of the best, I don't know, three or four teams in the entire league. Anyway, is that a fictitious statement, or is there truth to the fact that the NFC East might be the best division in football?
I don't think it's the best division in football, but...
What's better?
Well, I mean, technically it's the best division in football by the record. Let's say that I have the AFC West and you have the NFC East, and it's a loser leaves town match. You gotta put down your headset and get out of Dodge and whoever has the best record between the four teams being matched up, I will still take the AFC West.
See, I'll take the NFC East for this reason.
And not if your job's on the line.
Yeah, no. Here's why I take the NFC East. I'm not sold on anybody but the Chiefs in the West.
Right, but if the Chiefs beat the Eagles.
Right.
The Cowboys versus the Chargers and the Giants versus the Broncos. Yeah. Maybe Raiders.
I think the Chargers are not sure. We know talented, but the Raiders are I'm not rooting against Josh McDaniel, but I ain't rooting for him. And I think the Broncos are an absolute mess, and I think it's fair to wonder if Russell Wilson is going to steal money over the next however many years that contract lasts.
But I will still take the Broncos over the Washington football team.
Yeah, but I think it's closer than – I think that would be a heck of a football game. The Commandos and the Broncos?
It would be a game, yeah.
The Commandos versus the Broncos. I think that would be a phenomenal game. All right. final thing, because we'll stay in the NFC East, Will Brinson. Cowboys do look like they're for real. They can – I mean, Dak Prescott may come back this week. They've threatened it for, 2 weeks now. But I would keep him out until he's absolutely 100%. Because Cooper Rush can manage the game enough.
Yes.
And I think that the Rams, are they like in trouble? Like not make the playoffs trouble?
Yeah, sure. They could miss the playoffs. The offensive line is really bad.
Mm-hmm.
Matthew Stafford looks...
And he's hurt.
Like most quarterbacks, looks a lot worse when he's under extreme duress.
Yeah.
I mean, the quarterbacks with bad offensive lines usually are not very good. I mean, that's just it's not like a hard thing to figure out. Like, if your offensive line is playing, if you have a bottom 10 offensive line in the league, you're not playing like a top 10 quarterback in the league. It's just not possible because you can't protect long enough to get throws off. I mean, Matt Stafford's constantly under pressure. They needed a number two. That's a number two wide receiver that showed up in the Super Bowl when Odell Beckham got hurt, and Tyler Higbee's seen a lot of volume, and Ben Skoranek is nice and all that, and Allen Robinson just hasn't been what they hoped he would be. They need that true number two, and they need a better offensive line. Like, that's just – those are just the problems with the Rams right now, and I think if you improve the offensive line, or if the offensive line improves, then maybe you have a chance to turn things around. I also think you look at the losses, the Bills, the Cowboys, and the 49ers, those are probably all playoff teams. And all teams with very good defenses, that's really the concern, is an elite pass rush can really disrupt the Rams.
There's no question about it. And again, Stafford might be also physically compromised, having started the season with a little bit of an elbow issue.
I think there's something to that. And I, mm-hmm. flack on the podcast for quote unquote making excuses when I brought that up, but I really do think
it's not an excuse. I mean, injuries are a reality. Baker Mayfield's high ankle sprain is going to keep him out a few weeks. It's just a reality. And if it suffered, if it happened during the game, maybe that's the reason why he double clutched and airmailed Christian McCaffrey. But look, we've got 17 weeks of this left. Not 17, 12.
It's going to be a long season.
17,
man.
Including the playoffs. Will Brinson, we'll talk to you next Monday, my man.
All right, man. Sounds good.
This is the Adam Gold Show.